night to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you would. I was sitting there singing, "Oh, happy day, happy day." And I thought, well, you know, it ought to look like I'm happy. So that put a smile on my face. It was a wonderful day when the Lord washed my sins away. And it wasn't in a baptistry somewhere. It was right about halfway back on this side of the auditorium, First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. God saved my soul. What a wonderful, wonderful memory, and what a wonderful truth that is. All right, you're there at 1 Kings 18. Look at verse 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. We're going to leave off reading right there. Look, if you're a born-again child of God, if you've been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then there ought to be a desire in your heart to live a successful Christian life. You should not be content to be mediocre. You should not be content to continue on in that same sinful life that you'd lived before, but would have a desire to live a real successful Christian life. Be honest, I don't understand Christians who don't care to at least try to live that Christian life. Don't understand that at all. But at the same time, I don't think that's the end. There's a step beyond just living a Christian life. I believe that the Christian ought to have a desire to be used of God. That God would use that life, your life, my life. God would take our life and use it for His honor and glory. And you say, well, I don't know if He could. Well, I guarantee you He can. But as we look at Bible characters and we look at Christians in general, it becomes obvious, if you look, that God is able to use some folks more than He is able to use others. Say, well, why is that? Well, Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says there's no respect of persons with God. So if that Bible verse is true, and we believe it is, if that Bible verse is true, then the reason He uses some believers more than He does others lies with the individual believer. It lies with us. If God uses one here more than He uses someone else, then the reason lies with the believer, okay? In other words, it's our fault if God can't use us. It's our fault if God doesn't use us. Now, we've been looking at Elijah just a little bit in chapter 17. And we begin reading and studying and seeing the ministry of Elijah. Boy, if you're familiar with what's coming, we know God used Elijah in a marvelous way. And so, well, why? Well, I think there's some reasons. And I think we're not going to look at I'm not fixing to tell you tonight that here's the reasons God used Elijah. Here's all the reasons. But I want to give you three reasons tonight, if I could, why I believe God could use Elijah, all right? Three reasons. And if it worked for Elijah, it'll work for us. If it worked for him, it'll work for us. Say, preacher, I'm no longer a young whippersnapper. That's all right. It's all right. You say, preacher, I haven't been saved very long. That's okay. None of those things can stop us, all right? So I want you to look at it, and I want you to see there in verse 1, it came to pass after many days. Came to pass after many days. One of the reasons I believe God could use Elijah was Elijah knew how to wait on God. Now, that doesn't seem like the great secret of being a successful servant of God. You say, but hey, wait a minute, it is important. God's word has a lot to say and tells us repeatedly to wait on him. Let me give you a few of those. Psalm 27:14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land, and the wicked are cut off. When the wicked are cut off, then thou shalt see it. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. The Bible just says a lot about waiting on him, all right? Wait on the Lord. And did you notice, as I read those verses, if you're listening, did you notice there was a promise with each one of them? There was a promise with each one of them. In Psalm 27:14, he said, if you wait on him, he shall strengthen thine heart. Everybody could use a stronger heart. He said, I'll do that if you'll wait on me. In Psalm 37:34, he said, if you'll do it, the one that'll do it, he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. I like to have an inheritance. We can have that. Proverbs 20:22 says, you wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. Those are good promises. But the truth is, maybe the promise we normally associate with waiting on God is found in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40 and verse 31, where the Bible says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful promise. Hey, Elijah waited on God. Says it came to pass after many days. Many days. Elijah waited on God there at the brook Cherith, okay? He waited there as God took care of him, and he watched that brook dry up, but he waited on God. He was waiting in the city of Zarephath there with that widow woman as that barrel of meal wasted not away, but he waited on God. He knew what it was to wait on God. Now, I can tell you, and I can testify personally, waiting is not easy. I'm not a good waiter. I do not like to wait. If I go to Walmart or a grocery store, I'm cruising with my buggy ready to get out of there. I'm looking for the checkout line with the least people in it. Of course, normally that doesn't help me. If you're ever at a store and you see me in a line, get in another one. Because invariably I get in the one where the person being checked out ahead of me says, well, I don't think that's the right price. Or they're paying, and I know there's a dime in here somewhere. And I mean, it just wait, slow and slow and slow. Or the checker themselves, going slow. Don't get in the line behind me because I wind up having to wait. I don't like to wait there. I don't like to wait at red lights. Now, I don't run red lights. But I don't like to wait at red lights. I don't like to wait anywhere. We have a tendency, though, and the worst thing is not that we strain at waiting in the store. We have a tendency that we want to get ahead of God. We want to get ahead of God. And, boy, it's hard to use someone who won't wait on him. Our desire is kick the door down instead of letting God open the door. But we have to learn to wait on God. Look, God tells us to pray. We like to pray with our hand extended and open our eyes to see if he's put the answer there. But we have to learn to wait on God. And I as I've said, waiting's not easy. I don't like to wait. There's things, you get ideas, you get thoughts, and you think, well, let's do it right now. But sometimes right now is not God's timing. God's timing doesn't work on our time schedule. And there's a lot of folks in the scriptures that had to wait on God. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. You want God to use you, learn to wait. Learn to wait. Now, don't be sitting doing nothing while you're waiting. You're to be laboring. You're to be working. But man, you wait on God. If God's got the door, He'll open the door. You don't have to knock it down. I believe one of the reasons God could use Elijah was Elijah knew how to wait on God. The second thing is also found there in verse 1, where the Bible said, "The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went." Hey, I want you to see this. Elijah, God could use Elijah because Elijah responded to the voice of God. He responded to the voice of God. You'll find over in 1 Kings chapter 17, after Elijah told Ahab, "Hey, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." And God spoke to Elijah and said, "Go hide thyself." And Elijah responded to the word of God. He responded to the voice of God. Here we see he responds to the voice of God. The indication is Elijah was listening. He was listening. You don't respond to the voice you don't hear. We've all had experiences where somebody spoke and we didn't hear them. Sometimes we get accused of selective listening or selective hearing because we don't respond sometimes. But hey, Elijah responded to the voice of God. He was ready to hear what God had to say. Ready to hear that. Did you notice? I don't believe God had to yell to get his attention. Why? He was listening. He was listening. He was ready to respond. You know, too many people in our day, we're not listening for the voice of God. And we get in situations where God speaks to us and we argue with him. He was ready to respond. I'm wondering if some folks aren't afraid he will speak to them. You know, we have mission conference time. We have missionaries. And sometimes if you announce a missionary is going to be there, the attendance is not as good. You wonder, are people afraid God's going to call them to the mission field? Are we afraid God will speak to us? Hey, Elijah hadn't heard from God in about 2.5 years or so, all right? But he didn't respond by asking, "Where have you been? I've been seeking your face. I've been praying. Where have you been?" That was not it, all right? His response wasn't a question. His response wasn't to question God. His response wasn't, "God, are you sure? Are you sure that's what you want?" No, he was ready to respond to the word of God. His response wasn't to debate with God. Some people get in a debate with God. Jonah wanted to debate with God. Hey, we need to have that willingness. You want God to use you, then you be ready and willing, and you respond to the voice of God when God speaks. So many people's testimonies as preachers is, "God called and I ran." Well, in the name of Pete, why do you want to do that? Unless it's running to him. But we do it. Hey, the word that came to Elijah, did you notice the change? Look back in 1 Kings chapter 17, would you? Verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself." Who's he hiding from? He's hiding from Ahab. Hey, that first voice of God, when God spoke to old Elijah, he said, you get thee hence, you head eastward, and you go hide. My man, now look at what it is. He said, "You go show thyself unto Ahab." The word that came to Elijah was not what it had been. Before he was told to hide, this time it was just about the opposite. Go show yourself. God's directions to you can change. His directions to you can change. He may be saying this is direction to go, but later he may come back and change that direction. You be listening and you be ready to respond to that, all right? If you want God to be able to use you, listen to the voice of God. Respond to the voice of God. Say, "Lord, I'm willing to do Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to go wherever you would have me to go. I'm willing to do that. Our response, hey, God's directions can change. And just as he had before, Elijah responded by immediately doing what God said to do. Boy, they're, like I say, no question, no debate, no how come, no what's changed. No, are you sure? Hey, no, none of that. He said, you go show thyself unto Ahab, I will send rain upon the earth. And the very next word, Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Notice that last phrase, verse 2, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. I want you to see this. And this may be the place where, as the saying goes, the rubber hits the road. Elijah had the courage to fully obey the Lord. He had the courage to fully obey the Lord. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, he had the courage to face danger. Can I say to you, Ahab was the last person he maybe wanted to see? Just the last person. Ahab been hunting for him 3 years nearly. He was looking for him. By the way, he wasn't looking for him so he could declare him man of the year. All right? They weren't going to put him on the cover of Time as the man of the year. Man, they were after his hide. There's some aggravation about it. It was dangerous. There was danger in it for Elijah to see Ahab again. You said, what do you think about it? How do you know? Well, look at verse 17 in chapter 18. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Man, it's all your fault what's going on here. You're the reason we're having problems. You're the reason we're in the middle of a sore famine in Samaria. You and your proclamation that it wasn't going to rain. Hey, I want you to know, Elijah had the courage to just face the danger that there was involved in fully obeying the Lord. Sometimes there is great danger. Sometimes there is great danger. You know, we read a lot of those accounts in the Word of God, and we know they came out wonderful, but they could have been different. They could have been different. But he was willing to face that danger. Everything is not necessarily going to be rosy as you serve God and you let God use you. You may have to face some danger. I just finished reading a missionary book that he wrote. He had gone to Ivory Coast and spent several years as a missionary in Ivory Coast and in Ghana. His name's Joe Consford. And I've met Brother Consford, and he wrote that book. It's interesting, the very first story in the book is about snakes. Now, he was in Africa. There are snakes in Africa. And I think he said there's the ten deadliest snakes in the world were in that area of Africa. And he said, I personally killed 7 different kinds of those deadliest snakes out of 10. And the first story in that book, he went out in his garage barefoot, stepped on something, flipped on the light. I would have done it the other way around. But he stepped on something that squishy and it moved, and he looked and realized it was a black mamba. Now, in case you don't know, a black mamba is somewhat deadly. So deadly is one of those almost, if it bites you, you figure out, do I want to die there or there? Because, man, it's limited what can do for you. And he went on to tell in that story how he went and he realized, I've got to find that snake. It's in my garage. And sounds like his garage, like a lot of garages today. Because he had to go moving stuff and everything. It's quite an interesting story. Hey, There can be danger in serving God. There can be great danger in that. But Elijah had the courage to face that danger. That's not all. He had the courage to do what I call leaving his comfort zone. Leaving his comfort zone. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, where had he been? In chapter 17, the biggest part of chapter 17, he's at Zarephath. And you said, what do you mean comfort zone? All right, do I remind you there was a sore famine in Samaria? But Elijah had been eating every day. Every day. There was a barrel of meal that wasted not. There was a cruse of oil that never ran dry. That was comfortable. They were now, I believe they were at the stage where they no longer worried when we go back to the meal barrel, will there be any in it? I believe by then they were confident God had proved to them it was going to be there. So they went, that widow would go back, grab that meal, take that oil, make them something to eat, and they ate. They were cruising, man. Everything was all right, all right? He had been eating well. His needs had been supplied at Zarephath. I believe Elijah was a regular man. He's like us. He liked comfort. He wasn't one of those that said, no, I go barefoot when it's rocky and I beat myself, you know, flail my back. I don't want. No, we like comfort. Who doesn't? Look, we like padded pews. We like an air conditioner that works. We enjoy that. We like having a car that's comfortable. Man, in the early days of driving, I had two Toyota Celicas. You had to get down to get in them, crawl out of them to get out of them. I don't want another Toyota Celica. Man, I want comfort. I want one slide in, slide out. Mash the button, the air comes on. Hit the button, the heater's working. I was in Idaho and borrowed a car up there. It had a heated steering wheel. I'm really thinking about that pretty strongly. Man, it's good to have a heated steering wheel. It's good to have heated seats. Not in the summer, but in the winter it is. Boy, it was good to wrap my fingers around that steering wheel, and that steering wheel was warm. We like comfort. Come on. Let's admit it. We do. The air conditioner quits working. Preacher, what's wrong? It's hot in here. Sometimes we got the air conditioner on, and somebody says, man, what do you have it set on? I was hot. We don't like discomfort. Elijah had the courage to get out of his comfort zone. We get used to the status quo. We get used to that status quo, and it becomes a challenge for us to step out of that comfortable place. It's a challenge because we have the question, how will I survive there? We're doing okay here, but how will I survive there? How am I going to make it over there? Sometimes I believe God deals with us about giving. And he speaks to us about increasing our giving. But we think, wait a minute, I'm comfortable now. The bills are paid. Everything's run along all right. Maybe building up a little in the savings. Dear God, how would we survive? Elijah had the courage. He had the courage to leave that comfort zone, do what God wanted him to do. Hey, sometimes if you're going to be used of God, it takes some courage. It takes some courage. Not only that, he had the courage to take on the difficulty of the journey. The difficulty of the journey. If you look at maps and see and consider, to go and show himself to Ahab meant that Elijah was going to make a journey of nearly 100 miles on foot. There was no speedy bullet train to get on. There was no Uber driver to call. There was no Lyft driver to call. There just wasn't. It meant a difficult journey. Listen, oftentimes obedience to God requires a good deal of perspiration. Perspiration. It was going to be difficult. It wasn't going to be a walk in the park. Now, I want you to think about this. It was a journey through a land ravaged by famine. Okay, 100 miles. How far can you walk in a day? If I've got to make a 100-mile journey on foot, it's going to take a couple of months. Hey, how long would it take you to walk 100 miles in a land ravaged by famine? Wait a minute. Well, he could have carried some food, but that barrel of meal was just enough every time they came back. I don't know if she was able to pack him a lunch. I don't know. Don't have any idea. But I know there were no McDonald's along the way. There was none of that. It was a dangerous journey. By the way, think about the people he would meet. You ever think about that? Think about the people he would meet along that journey. There's Elijah, the prophet of God. Hey! Now, hey, Mabel. That looks like Elijah. That's the guy that said it wouldn't rain. Hey, buddy, we haven't had a crop in a couple of years. It's your fault. You ever think about that? Elijah wasn't the most popular guy in the country. Now, you need to remember something. We need to be reminded of this. The popular God in that day was Baal. It wasn't Jehovah God. That country had turned from serving God, worshiping God, to worshiping Baal. And now here comes that prophet of God that had said it's not going to rain. I just want to tell you something. I don't believe he was welcome in every community he came through. Might have been a smart idea for him to sneak through at night. I don't know. But how'd he make the journey? I don't know that either. All I know is he had the courage to go. He had the courage to step out and do it. Now, friend, here we are. The problem with so many in our day, we don't have the courage needed for God to use us. We don't have the courage, all right? We will not obey him when it seems like it could be dangerous. We will not obey him when it seems like to us we can't, because we don't have the ability in and of ourselves. We don't obey him. Let me give you an illustration. We try to go on Thursday nights. We try to knock doors. We try to witness to people. There's a host of folks that will not come, all right, that will not come or do not come. I'm not sure what the reason is, but I think in a lot of times the reason is I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to say. I do not know how I will be met. I've had people open the door and say, "Don't you see that do not solicit sign?" When they say that to me, I don't start shaking. Sometimes, honestly, I can say, "Well, by cracky, look, there it is." No, I didn't see it. Most of the time, I can say, "Yes, I saw it. By the way, I'm not soliciting." I'm not soliciting. I'm here to give you something. Here to give you something. But we have a tendency to be afraid. Now, can I tell you the truth? I know what it is to be afraid. I've knocked on doors a lot of times when I'm really, my honest prayer, God, don't let anybody be here. Just let them be somewhere else. I've knocked on the door, and they come to the door and open the door. It's a big old guy. He barely ducked, get his head on the door. "What do you want?" "Nothing. I'm at the wrong house." Hey, look, man, I'm human too. But sometimes if God's going to use us, we have to face our fears. We have to face our fears. We have to come face to face with them and trust our God. There's Elijah. There's Elijah. Been years since he had heard from God. Been years since God had said, "You go down there to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman there that'll take care of you." He'd been there a good while. But, man, he was willing to wait. He's willing to wait. I don't believe when Elijah was by the brook Cherith, I don't believe he walked this way day after day, thinking, "How long am I going to have to sit out here?" I don't believe he did that every day at Zarephath. "Lord, how long is this going to take? Because I believe he knew what it was to wait on the Lord, and he waited. He waited on the Lord. But when God spoke, he was listening. When God spoke, he was listening. He heard that voice of God. He responded to the voice of God. Didn't argue, didn't fuss, didn't debate. He said, okay, I'm on my way. And the Bible said in verse 1, you know, go show. In verse 2, and he went. And he went. Hey, he responded to the voice of God with full courage to do everything God wanted him to do. Listen, tonight, I'm not here to chew you out. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge you. I don't want to spend my Christian life doing nothing for God. God help me to do something for you. And if it's teach Sunday school class, I'm ready. If it's get a bus, you know, get the license, drive the bus, get that CDL, I'll do that. If it's get involved in that, I'll do that. If it's knock doors, I'll do that. I mean, whatever it is, Lord, I'm willing. I want you to use me. I want to have that courage to overcome all those obstacles. I have a question, and we're done tonight. One, can God use you? Or do you keep him from using you because you won't wait on him? You won't wait on him. You're not listening. You won't respond to his voice. You won't respond to his voice. Or maybe you lack the courage to step out in faith and say, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you say. Oh, man, to be used of God, what a blessing, what a privilege that God can even use us. That God could use such imperfect vessels as we are, and he's willing to do it. He wants to do it. And you say, well, I want him to use me. Okay, then he will. He will. If he doesn't, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. Well, I don't know what he wants me to do. How long have you prayed? How much asking have you done? Hey, what have you done while you were praying and waiting? There's things you know you ought to do. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Would you stand, please, tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, would you just speak to our hearts? Lord, I believe you want to use every one of us tonight.